Make It Right, the manufacturing podcast.
Welcome to the Make It Right podcast. I'm Janet Eastman. This week on the show, we talk about managing change and transformation across a large workforce. When you're working with a large team spread out over a global workforce, capturing the hearts and minds of your people to implement change and drive success can be difficult. There's language, culture, distance barriers to overcome, not to mention trust. Donzel Leggett has been a senior leader driving transformational change for more than 20 years. As the Vice President Global Manufacturing Excellence at General Mills, he's addressed change on a large scale, and I'm pleased to have him as our guest on the Make It Right podcast today. Welcome, Donzel.
Thank you, Janet. I'm really happy to be here.
So you've been in the manufacturing industry for 25 years, and I'm sure the landscape has changed a lot in those years. Have consumers become more demanding in the last decade or so?
Yeah, Janet, it's very, very demanding, and we've seen significant change across, I think, all manufacturing facets. But you know, if you're in consumer goods or if you're in food or big food, you've seen really significant changes. Some we saw starting to develop about a decade ago, and some really have come in significant focus and really thrown the industry into a significant amount of real change just over the last 5 years. Some of the things we've seen is consumers increasingly looking for more variety. And that's true across all geographies. And so that's one. We started seeing that about 10 years ago. Health has also been one that has continued to be a significant driver, but has become more into focus over the last decade. People looking for more healthy options and looking for different types of healthy types of things. And the thing that we've really seen over the last 5 years that really has also been very dramatic is people's want for visibility. People want to know where their food is coming from. They want to understand, is this sustainably coming from sustainable sources in terms of agriculture? You know, if it's, you know, how are you treating the labor market, the labor pool? Are you using sustainable and humane labor practices? What about the treatment of animals, products derived from animals? You know, how are you interacting with the sustainability of our environment and water sources, to the point where some people even want to be able to scan a QR code and be able to see the farm that the oats are grown on, that their products are coming from, or how the cows are treated, where milk is coming that's making their yogurt or ice cream. All of these things combined have really driven a significant demand all the way back in the supply chain from suppliers and their suppliers through to manufacturing, as well as even transportation, because people want to know, to get my products where they're going to be so I can buy them. You know, are you increasing the load on carbon emissions by using so many trucks and things like that. So this whole thing of convenience, health, variety, and now this visibility and sustainability, dramatic changes to the way that we have done things before. And that's creating an opportunity for small players to come in that have a different view and really is starting to disrupt a lot of the big companies.
It takes a long time to turn a big ship. So how does a large company, adjust in that dramatic environment in the span of 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, and if you're, you know, watching a lot of the large company performance in terms of the stock market and things of that nature, especially for big food and consumer goods, you see that it's been most of those companies are down. These are companies that for a long time have been, you know, almost like viewed as annuities from investors, because they've been very steady growth, not big growth like tech companies, but steady, always strong balance sheets, always strong cash flow, and consistent, you know, low growth, but high profit margins. And what's happened is these changes seem to all of a sudden have come to an apex, and it's created a situation, especially with over the last 5 or 6 years, where there were lower interest rates and more venture capital out there, where again, smaller, more nimble players were able to come in that didn't have the same level of asset intensity and the same expectations around profit margin to make their business models work. And so what this has done is it's created an environment where small players are coming in, they're capturing market share quickly, they're disrupting, And that's forcing big companies to really now think about the difference between change and transformation. Change is where you make small incremental tweaks, maybe to a business model or introduction of a product that's slightly different. Transformation is really looking at the way you do things and saying, we got to completely do things differently now. We have to change the way that we work. We have to change the way that we go to market. We have to change our culture that's been built up in some cases close to a century or over a century. So that transformation is really what's testing a lot of big companies today, in particular in this food space and consumer goods. It's also being exacerbated by the fact that if you move away from what consumers are doing or some of the things consumers are demanding back to convenience, the rise of e-commerce with what Amazon has done in Asia, what Alibaba has done, where they're having significant high double-digit growth rates year over year in terms of, again, how people interact and purchase products. That demand, again, is changing or forcing us to transform the way that we manufacture, the way that we do business, the way that we interact with consumers, the way that we interact with our customers, because the customer base is moving away, again, from big box to e-commerce, and the way we interact with our suppliers and the demands we're putting on them. So it's all about transformation, looking at the way we used to do things and saying that's not going to get it done, even if it worked for the last 50 years or 70 years, and saying we got to revamp and completely look at a new way of doing things to compete with these smaller players. So it's about transformation now. And whoever can transform is going to win. Whoever can't is going to go the way of Sears and Kmart.
So when you have a workforce that is in the thousands and it's scattered all over the world, how do you inspire or get all of those people to realize as individuals, they aren't just a cog in the wheel, but they're very much a part, an important part of the transformation?
Yeah. You know, it starts with leadership has to believe. If the leaders believe that we have a vision and a plan that actually can turn the company to a place of growth, a future growth, or the organization that we can win with this new, with a different strategy. The culture change is hard. And so if the leaders don't believe, if the leaders aren't all in, it's almost impossible to get the rest of the employee base and team members to believe as well, because they can see, they can tell, they can feel whether the passion is there and the belief is there. So the first thing is we have to have a plan that we believe can work, that we believe in, and that we all are all in. Once we have that, then it really is about connecting with each person in our organization, finding what's in it for them so that they can feel like there's something here. It's not just about the company. It's about how can the company's success benefit me as an individual? Because if you don't see what's in it for you, it's going to be very difficult to move forward. And to find out what's in it for those people, you have to connect. That's what inspiration's all about. And so for me, it's about understanding what's in it for the mass of the organization. That may seem hard if you have a global company where you've got folks across different continents. But from my experience and my travels, most people have similar things in common. They want to be able to take care of their family. They want to be able to feel like they're bettering themselves and they're adding value. They want to see a future for themselves, and they want to feel like the company values them. By letting folks know that their safety is important, especially if they work in manufacturing, we'll always start with people safety is the number one thing. Because if you can't get home every night safely back to your family, that's a failure on my part as a leader. That shows that I don't care. But if I prioritize that, that illustrates care. That touches your heart. We also have strong brands. A lot of these companies have very powerful brands. And the brand promise starts with the products that consumers buy and eat or use are safe to use. They're high quality. That's what builds that trust. And if you are a person who works in the company, you want, you know, when you say I work for a certain company, the brands associated with that, you want people to feel that, to give you, to have that respect, to say, man, that's something that I've trusted for my grandmother or my daughter or my son. So that also touches people's hearts. So we got to do those two things first. And if we can do those, then people are open to start to see what are ways I can help transform. What are behaviors that we can change? And you know what we have found is that actually the masses of the 10,000, getting them on board is actually easier than getting the leaders to believe. Because the leaders end up in this process, you know, end up giving up a little bit of power. Because as a leader, you make all the decisions. But to way to transform and be nimble and flexible like these small companies, we need the 10,000 people to actually be leaders. We need them to be decision makers, which means we're going to give power away. And sometimes it's hard to get leaders to understand that that's the way for us to transform and be successful.
So how important is the role of trust in business and getting your employees to move that ball forward?
You know, it's absolutely critical. And that's why I started, you know, when I answered the last question, it comes down to, do leaders believe? Because if you don't believe and you try to tell people, here's the way we want to go, immediately you undermine any trust that you can build. Because people can tell that you're not telling the truth. You know, one of the leadership models that I espouse here is called I Lead. And it's just kind of an acronym, but it means something. I stands for inspiration. And I talked a little bit about that with capturing hearts in mind. And then the L is for lighting the way, you know, with a vision that people can clearly see what is in it for me. You know, so I'm inspired, but I got to see, you know, this is great. What's in it for me? And then it's about engaging, which I talked about. You know, you have an idea or a plan. Now that you got the 10,000 people inspired and they see where it's going, you got to engage and allow them to be decision makers, to tweak it, because they have expertise you don't have. And then you activate the plan, actually start to do it and then develop by continuing to invest in people's capabilities. But all of those things are undermined if you cannot inspire or get that trust. Inspiration has to start with, I trust this person as a leader. And so what I try to do is I talk about the A attitudes of leadership. And the A attitudes start with, you have to be accessible. You know, if you can't engender trust, if you're never around, if people don't feel like they can come to you or that you're going to them. That's why, you know, when we launched our world-class manufacturing strategy around the world, I visited every one of our sites outside of the U.S., went directly to them, no matter how small they were, went directly to those sites, no matter how hard they were to get to, so that I could directly interact with people. I learned how to speak Portuguese and Spanish, a little bit of French, just a little bit of Mandarin, just enough. So that when I went into the production floor, I could talk directly to the people, not just their bosses. Because the boss is going to tell me what I want to hear. They're going to tell me what I need to hear, the people on the floor. So that accessibility, being someone who not only is available by going there, but someone who's going to find a way to speak at your level, in your language, and someone who people feel comfortable sharing with. That is great, but then you have to be authentic. People have to feel like, again, you're telling them the truth, and whoever they're talking to is the same person. So anyone who's worked with me knows the same way I'm going to talk to you on this podcast is the same way that I'm talking to people if I'm in one of our facilities. The same way I'm talking to people when I'm in the neighborhoods and talking to neighbors. The same way I'm going to talk to the board of directors. I'm the same guy. People can tell if you're authentic. And it's a lot of energy that's expended if you're trying to be someone you're not, and people can see through it. So you have to be authentic. If you're not authentic, people will not trust you. It's that simple. So accessibility and then authenticity. And the third, you have to show adoration. Do you really love people? I know that sounds kind of funny and maybe, you know, a little you know, touchy-feely and things like that. But the bottom line is, you know, if you're in manufacturing, unless you're in a totally automated situation where there's no people involved, majority, especially in food and consumer goods, because it's so much asset intensity, but you need flexibility in those assets, you still need people. And so you have to love people. You have to believe in the inherent goodness of people. You have to believe that every single person adds value and that you are going to invest in them and you care about their family. If you have adoration and care, you truly care about the safety of every person and how their son is growing up and, you know, where their daughter's going to college and, you know, where does their wife work and where are they from? All of these things show adoration that touches people's hearts. Then there's accountability. As a leader, you have to be accountable. People want to see if things aren't going right, are you going to blame the next guy in line or are you going to step up and be the first to say, you know what, I'm the leader, that's on me? Are you going to be accountable when again, the circumstances change and maybe the vision you had before now doesn't fit the new circumstance? Are you accountable enough to say, and adult enough to say, hey, we can change, we can tweak the strategy? That's what accountability is all about the, you know, you can't pass it to someone else. Again, that's about trust, because people can see when things get tough, what is your backup style? Is it to step up or is it to shy away? If it's to step up, you build trust. If it's to shy away, you destroy it. And finally, it's action. It all comes, talk is great. Going to these plants is great. Learning their language is great. All that stuff is great. But when it comes down to it, when we have to actually make decisions, even if they're tough decisions, even decisions that, you know, some people may not like, but it's best, the best for the entire organization and for the masses. Are you willing to take that action? If you're not, that destroys trust. If you are, even if it's tough, that builds trust. So to me, it's all about starting with trust, and that trust is built by these A attitudes of leadership: accessibility, authenticity, showing adoration, accountability, and action. If you do those things, you can build trust. In my experience, it doesn't matter the geography, it doesn't matter the language. We're all people. We all have very similar interests.
Basically, it all comes down to, we all just want three squares and a roof and a happy, healthy family.
Yes, that's exactly right, Janet.
Thank you very much, Donzel, for your insights. I have really enjoyed our conversation. And you know, it's funny, I've been talking to manufacturing leaders for the last number of months on this podcast. And when we first started, I thought it would be all about the technology. And what I'm learning very quickly is that manufacturing comes down to the people. Thanks very much, Donzel, for your time.
Thank you so much, Janet. I really appreciate it. You have a great rest of your day.
And to you. Donzel Leggett is Vice President Global Manufacturing Excellence at General Mills. That is our Make It Right podcast for this week. Thanks very much for listening, and I hope you'll share it with your friends, and we'll see you again next time.